G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
All right, have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So this is the final part. This is part 8 of my series about spiritual gifts. And so we're going to wrap up some things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. So it says... But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And we've talked for a number of weeks. I mean, this is the eighth part in it. But basically there on the screen, we've gone through that in some detail. We've seen how there's nine gifts that are listed there in what we've just read. All nine of them are supernatural gifts. They are called manifestations of the Spirit. Why are they manifestations of the Spirit? It's because you can't see the Holy Spirit. Same as you can't see the breeze, you can't see the wind. Like, you can't see the breeze even that the fan is forcing on you. You can feel the effect. That's the manifestation. So, you can't see the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean he's not there. Same as you can't see the breeze, but you can feel its evidence. And so, there are manifestations. The Holy Spirit makes himself evident in our midst through these nine gifts. And every one of them is supernatural. And there's... they can be categorized in three categories, and we've talked about how there are three that say something, there are three that do something, and there are three that reveal something. And the ones that say something are called utterance gifts, and they're prophecy, kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The three that do something are called the power gifts, and they are faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And the three that reveal something are called revelation gifts, and they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Now, we've gone into quite a bit of detail in every one of them except for the interpretation of tongues, which I'm just going to cover for part of today, and I want to wrap up because I want to talk about some keys in flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. And so you can, you know, they're all a free download on the website. They are on the homepage at the moment. They eventually will be, probably in a couple of weeks, they'll be moved from the homepage into the free downloads area, and you can find them there. But they are, you can... feel free to avail yourself of that and just download them and have a listen to them. I haven't found a lot of good teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. So anyway, but praise God. I feel like there's some good stuff that came out as we went through. All right, let's go on to verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling?" And so he's really going at some lengths to illustrate that we all have different gifts. That's the big point that he's trying to make. God has given us different gifts. You have at least one spiritual gift. And I've spent quite a bit of time showing you that in scriptures and establishing that. So I don't want to go over that again. But he's talking here, and he goes into how it's when we all begin to use our individual gifts, then like one body, we are really blessed and we become effective. There's no such thing. The word lone ranger doesn't appear in the Hebrew or in the Greek or in the English in the Bible. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. Or as ISIS call them, lone wolves. We are members individually of one body. It's one body, but individual members. And when we begin to work together, can you imagine, you know, like, imagine if someone's body and all the parts of his body decided to do whatever it wanted to do. He'd look like the most amazing disco dancer, wouldn't he? As he's trying to walk, because one foot's going that way and the other one's that way and the hands are going everywhere and the fingers are wriggling around and his eyes are going in different directions. It's the body, the different parts working together that make a body effective. An athlete that's really well conditioned is one who's trained himself and his body works in synchronization far more effectively than his competitors. And so that's the illustration that Paul's giving here, that we're all members. We all have different gifts. And if we collectively begin to use our gifts, there's a gift that you have that maybe no one else in this church has. And if you don't use it, we'll suffer. Now, if you choose never to use it, God will raise up others, and others may step temporarily in that place. But God wants to use you with that gift. He's given you that gift. And as you learn to exercise that and move in that gift, it's a supernatural manifestation. It blesses others, and the church is built up as a result of that. And then there are gifts that others have that you don't have. And then as they use those gifts, then you get blessed. That's why it's important to come to church. It's not like because like you got nothing else to do on a Sunday. It's because we're members individually and the body needs to come together and work together to be effective. So we'll go on verse 27. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles?" Obviously the answer to all of those is no, not all are, because everyone's got different gifts. "Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet," everyone say, "and yet."
"And yet."
"And yet I show you a more excellent way." Now, I haven't come to this bit yet. I've sort of talked a lot in chapter 12 and I've talked a lot in chapter 14, but this phrase, "and yet I show you a more excellent way," leads us into chapter 13. We touched a little bit on it last week, but I want to go into. Remember, when the Bible was written, there were no chapters. That got put in later. And so what Paul is saying, "I show you a more excellent way," is leading into what he's about to say. And really, it shouldn't have been a chapter division there. The more excellent way is what we're about to read. And so chapter 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." And notice the gifts of the Spirit that are listed there. "Though I speak with the tongues," that's different kinds of tongues. That's in verse 1. "But if I don't have love, I've become a sounding brass." In verse 2, "though I have the gift of prophecy," there's another gift. "And understand all mysteries." Well, that's more than just a word of knowledge, isn't it? That's multiple words of knowledge. "And all knowledge. And though I have all faith." There's a number of gifts, revelation gifts, power gifts, utterance gifts that he mentions in this passage. But he's talking about, even though I may have the gift of tongues, if I don't have love, I'm going to be like a sounding, like a cymbal. Sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I've got the gift of prophecy, if I understand all mysteries, I'm flowing in word of knowledge where it's like, not word of knowledge, it's like paragraph of knowledge, essay of knowledge, encyclopedia of knowledge. And he's saying, even if I flow like that, if I don't have love, he says, I'm nothing. He says, even if I've got all the faith to move the mountains, but I don't have love. See, it's possible for you to move in the gifts of the Spirit and be a blessing to others, but it does you no profit. It does nothing for you. And that's a dangerous place to get to. That's possible, hey? You can get to a place where you are moving in signs and wonders and moving in the gifts of the Spirit, yet you're void of the love of God. You don't care about people. You like it because it makes you something special, or you think it does. And they're the people that Jesus says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, did we not do many signs and wonders in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Look at all the things we've done. And Jesus turns around and says, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? They weren't flowing in love. This is the key to flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, is to flow in love. And I'm going to really establish this as we go through. But this is such an important thing, even in your life and in my life. This is something that helps us stay within the boundaries of God's permissive will and His blessing in our life. You start moving out of the love of God, well, then you're doing things for ulterior motives. Because love is always looking at giving and blessing and building up others. And if you're not doing things out of that sort of motive, well, why are you doing it? Is it because there's some sort of personal gain that you're going to get? Maybe it'll improve your reputation. Maybe you'll have a better group of friends, or, and then all of a sudden we've just moved right out. And he goes on in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Everyone say, it profits me nothing. This is really important. Don't tithe, don't give, unless you can do it with a cheerful heart. We've heard some people say it in the past. Don't do it. If you can't do it because you love Jesus, don't do it. It'll profit you nothing. You're losing money. Keep it. You need it. But if you love Him, and you're just saying, God, I am just so grateful. Show me someone I can bless. And I take the portion that belongs to you, the tithe, and I present it to you. And you're doing it out of love. Well, then there's great profit in that, hey? So this issue of love is so, so important. And then verse 4, he goes on and he in the next few verses, and he defines love. He says, love is patient, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And so we're gonna look at that, but and we're gonna be talking about, you know, like particularly on how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. But what I want to do is I just want to finish talking about the interpretation of tongues, because that's the last one that we only touched on briefly last time, and so I want to finish that, and then we'll talk about the love of God and how it connects in and how it will enable you to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. So the interpretation, the gift of the interpretation of tongues, it's a supernatural showing forth by the Holy Spirit. It gives the meaning of an utterance that's given in other tongues. Sometimes in a church service, someone may speak in tongues. And it's not like their prayer language, it's like it's a message from God. And when that happens, God will move and He'll give someone the interpretation of that message. And that's what this gift is all about. It is the least of all of the nine gifts, the gift of interpretation of tongues, because it's dependent, number one, firstly, on the gift of tongues. You'll never exercise interpretation of tongues unless the gift of tongues has been exercised. And so it's dependent upon that. Obviously, it's not the same as prophecy. The Bible says that it's tongues and interpretation of tongues equals prophecy. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You can read that. So this is the least of all the gifts, but it doesn't mean that it's not important. And where its importance is, particularly, is God wants us to move in prophecy, to move in the prophetic. But sometimes people fail to pick it up. Sometimes people fail to pick up that prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's where this comes in, because it takes less faith. And so God will move on someone to exercise the gift of tongues, and that stirs up, that usually stirs up the heart of the prophet. They go, oh, God, you want to say something, and alerts them, and they'll get the interpretation of that. And so it has a great value and significance because of that. Notice it says it's the interpretation of tongues. It's not translation of tongues. And that means, like, you can have two people get an interpretation, and they'll be very similar, but they're interpretations. It's kind of like you can watch an event, and someone else can watch an event, and they'll describe it, and you'll describe certain things, and they may describe. There's a lot of overlap, but then there's things that are different because it's like it's through your eyes that you're seeing it, and it's being filtered. So, an interpretation is not the same as translation. A translation is when you're trying to give a verbatim, a very accurate. You know, these world leaders, when they go visit someone from a nation that speaks a language other than themselves, they'll bring along someone who can translate. They don't want an interpretation. They want a translation. They want to know exactly what is he saying, because certain phrases can change the meaning from one language into another. But with the interpretation of tongues, God doesn't give you the translation. He'll show you the overall meaning of what's being tried to be conveyed, and then you'll give that meaning. Have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're looking at verse 13. Actually, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. It says, "Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be done, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret." God wants us to be able to interpret. And this is not just even in the church. This is even in your own personal life. This is something I would encourage you to practice. As you're praying in tongues, ask the Lord. Say, "Lord, show me. What am I praying about?" He may not always show you immediately there and then. But if you pray in faith and you just say, "Lord, I'm just believing that you will give me the interpretation of this," you will find you'll get insight into what you're praying about. And sometimes that insight is really exciting, because sometimes it's actually the answer to something you've been wondering about. Something you're puzzled about, something that you've hit a wall and you just can't seem to get around it. I remember in the other church that we were pastoring that one of the ladies there, her son had lost, he'd lost his game, wasn't a Game Boy, what was the next thing after a Game Boy? The DS, yeah, that's right. He had a DS, which is like the next model from a Game Boy, and he'd lost it. 9 years old. Didn't know where it was. The parents had just bought it. You know, they'd spent several hundred dollars purchasing this thing, and he'd lost it. And she was so upset at him, like, "Where did you put it?" He goes, "I can't remember, Mum." And they're looking everywhere. They turned the house upside down. They couldn't find it. So she started praying in tongues. She started praying in the Spirit. She said, "God, I know you know where it is. So you're just going to show me." And she just started praying in the Spirit. And then she said, "Lord, show me. Show me what I'm praying." And she got this picture, and she saw, like, in her son's room, the bookshelf. And she saw a pile of books. And she saw this DS that was under the pile of books. And she said, "No, it's not there. I've checked there." And she said, "I know you know where it is, Lord. Show me. What am I praying?" And she got this picture again. In the son's room, the bookshelf, a pile of books, and she saw the DS under it. She's going, "Lord, I've looked there. I've looked the whole shelf. It's not there." She's praying in tongues some more. A little bit later, she said, "Lord, show me. I know you know where it is. Show me." Again, she gets a picture of her son's room and the shelf. So she goes, "All right, I'm going to show you that it's not there." She went under the pile of books. There it was, exactly like she saw it. The Bible says, "Let him who prays in tongues pray that he may interpret." Exercise that. Practice that. You can practice that in your own time. And you find God will give it to you. Hey. Notice with her, it came like in a vision. And the interpretation can come in different forms. Sometimes it can come like a picture or a vision. Sometimes it can come as a phrase. Right? He'll give you like a phrase. I know many times, well, interpretation of tongues is a very similar prophecy. Many times God's given me like a phrase where it's just like God says, have I not told you? And that's it. I go, have I not told you what? And he's going, that's what I want you to say. I go, yeah, but what did you not tell us? I go, you just give the phrase that I've given you, then I'll give you the rest. See, because all of the gifts require faith, is that right? And you've got to step out in faith. And sometimes God will give you a phrase and you don't know what the rest of it is, but you have to step out in faith, believing. And every time I've done that, it has worked. Every time, every single time. I remember in the early years when I first started getting, I thought, that's pretty cool. Thus says the Lord. That's pretty cool. I hear that lots of times. And I thought, I wonder if God's saying that. I wonder if God wants me to say that. I thought, no, he'd give me something. And then eventually when it happened several times, I realized, I think God's trying to speak through me. And so then I started to flow out of that. And then it just started to flow. So the interpretation of tongues can come if you pray for it. And the scripture says you should pray for it. Hey, God wants us to pray for the interpretation. And there's public interpretation. If you look a few verses on in chapter 14, verse 26, verse 27, it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. Notice it says, let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So this is just bringing order into the church. If someone starts speaking in tongues, and then we wait for the interpretation, and then we could get someone else speaking in a tongue, but then if it's three at the most, and then there's no interpretation, we just stop it. Because obviously, it's not, whoever's got that gift is just not able to pick up what God's saying. And so we don't just keep going, okay, let's try a fifth time, hey. Let's see if we get it this time and stuff. And we have limits in there. All right, so that's all I want to say about the interpretation of tongues. I want to particularly talk about flowing in the gifts. Hey, I guess one of the big questions that I've heard a number of you talk about is, what gift do I have? I was wondering, what gift has God given me? And I want to encourage you, don't let that be your predominant thought. What needs to be your predominant thought is, God, just, I want to bless others. I want to build others up. However you want to use me, I'm ready to be used. And just desire all the gifts. Hey. And you will find, if you do that, you will find then there will be some gifts that you'll be used in regularly. And other gifts you'll be used in occasionally. But God wants you to be ready to be used in every gift. Hey. And he will. There'll be times it may not be your gift, but he will use you in it because whoever's got that gift either isn't there or for some reason they're too afraid to, or they're not perceiving what God's saying. And just do that. Let that be your focus. God, I want to be a blessing. I want to glorify you. If you've got that heart attitude and you're ready to flow in whatever way that he wants you to flow, you will then begin to identify, oh, wow, I can see that. Yeah, these gifts seem to come up regularly. I wonder if maybe they're my gifts. And then you can begin. So don't make it a big issue about trying to identify gifts, what gifts you have. Just be ready to flow in every one of them. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right, how do you flow in the gifts? So I want to recap some things that I have been saying over the last few weeks and then move on from there. If you're going to flow in the gifts, you must be convinced that regular supernatural demonstrations of God's kingdom are essential to your life. You must be convinced that seeing God move supernaturally through you is not an optional extra. And while you see it as an optional extra, you'll never venture out, hey? But when you have a hunger for it and a desire, and that's why the Bible says, earnestly desire the best gifts. When you begin to see it, when you realize it is essential, we need to be constantly in our lives. There needs to be confirmation of God's presence in our life. not for us to, so that we can believe, but as a demonstration and for us to be able to share with other people. Well, you can go to someone and say, mate, I got to tell you what God did for me. That's how I actually ended up getting involved and getting baptized in the Holy Spirit is I was at university and there were a couple of people that shared their faith with me and I became born again. But these guys weren't filled with the Spirit. Some of them, though, in this university club, this Christian club, were filled with the Spirit. And what I noticed is the things that they did worked. This wasn't just like a textbook theory. You know, there were some Christians that I knew in this club, and they talked about God, but there was no evidence of God in their life. But then there were other Christians, and they'd tell me things. They'd go, man, this morning, I remember this one of the first times was this guy, Steve, and he said, guess what God did to me the other week? And I said, what? He said, I was supposed to have this special lecture, and they were going to show this, video that was going to be part of our assessment for the exam. And he said, I got up in the morning and I was getting ready, and the Holy Spirit said to me, don't go in to the lecture. And I said, so what did you do? And he said, I went in. I said, why? And he said, because, he said, that lecture was really important. It was going to be on our exam. And they were going to show that video. And if we didn't see the video, then there's certain questions we wouldn't be able to answer. And I said, so what happened? He goes, well, that's what I wanted to do. He said, the lecture was cancelled. He said, I could have stayed home. And I began to see these others talk about it. See, there's demonstrations of God's presence. They were the people that I started to hang around with. I'm thinking, well, how did God talk to you? I've never heard of that. Did he really? What did it sound like? What did he say? Did others hear it? You know, I had so many questions. And it caused me to start to hunger. And God wants you and I to have God stories in our life. That's why it's so important. If you want to move in the gifts of the Spirit, you can't see it as just an optional thing that you can, well, you know, take it or leave it. Well, guess what? There'll be no power in your life. And there'll be no difference in your life other than you maybe reading your Bible or coming to church. And if that's the only difference in your life between you and your non-Christian friends, then something's missing. You know, Jesus, he appealed to the miracles in his life as the stamp of divine authorship. People would say, prove to us who you are. He goes, look at the works. If you don't believe that I'm he, just look at the works. Remember when John the Baptist sent his disciples? Go ask him, you know, are you really the one or should we look for another? What did Jesus say to him? He didn't tell him, look, go tell John to read Isaiah 53. He'll read all about me. Yeah, the word says all that. But what did Jesus say to him? You go and tell John, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. Can people say that about you? Can people say, like, man, there's something about you. God seems to hear your voice because there's answers to prayer and you're always sharing it. You know, there has to be this regular experience that we're having in our lives where God is working through us and we've got stories to share with others. Where people say, man, it's more than a coincidence, hey? I thought maybe you're lucky, but no one's that lucky. And then they start to get hungry. You know, the apostles, they appealed to it as well. They appealed. You know, if Jesus appealed to the supernatural manifestations, and if the apostles appealed to the supernatural manifestations as proof that God was with them, it's the height of arrogance to think that we don't need it. Or to think that we can live without it. Is it any wonder that your life is so depressing? We have to be convinced that this is a necessity in our life, that moving in the gifts of the Spirit is an imperative. Hey, as long as it's an optional and extra, we will never experience it, certainly at the level that God desires for you and I to experience. Hey, you have to be convinced that God has given you at least one spiritual gift. And we've gone over all these things, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Recognize also, in moving in the gifts of the Spirit, recognize that you're not waiting for God. God is always on. You never need to get up in the middle of the night and say, hey, God, are you still awake? Can I talk to you? No, he's on. He's on. He's on. The Bible says, the Lord who looks after you never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's ready. He's talking to you. That's why Paul talked about putting limits on the gifts of the Spirit. Let only two or three pray in tongues. Let only two or three prophesy and let the others judge. Why? It's because God's ready. He's always on. You can ask him for the gift and he'll be ready to flow. The only thing that stops you from flowing is yourself. Either you're not hungry enough for it, you're too afraid of making a mistake, too embarrassed that maybe, oh, what if I say it wrong? What if it goes wrong? What if it doesn't work? You're self-consumed. Hey. They're the things that will stop you. Or you're just not able because maybe you're weary, you're tired. You know, I had a kid that I would tutor in maths, and he would just be sleepy every time I would tutor him. And I'd say, man, you just, every time we meet, you're just tired. And I said, what's the story? And he said, oh, I go bike riding in the mornings. I go, oh, where do you go? And he goes like 30, 40 kilometer bike ride. And I said, well, no wonder you're tired. Maybe you need to get home a bit earlier and have a bit of a rest. You know, if you're always falling asleep in church, maybe you need to get a bit more rest. If you're always failing to pick up the leading of the Spirit, maybe you need to be a bit more prepared. And we talked about that last week. What did you bring? Because the scripture talks about when you come together, let one bring an interpretation, one bring a revelation, someone brings a psalm. It's bringing the gifts that we have, ready to operate in them. And so, recognize that God's always on. You're not waiting for him. He's waiting for you. Hey, and as you earnestly desire it and as you're ready to flow in it, you will find God will flow. And there's obviously times and places. Hey, there will be times. It'll be just a mad place if we all just moved on whatever God was showing us. And that's why Paul even talked about there's got to be some order. God's the God of order. He's not the God of confusion. But there are. And Joy and I give room for that. We want to give room for that. For you to move and exercise your gifts. If you want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, this is a really important point, and I'm not going to talk too long. I could preach a whole message on this. You need to understand you are a spiritual being. What do I mean by that? I hear a lot of people say, man, I would move in the gifts, but I just don't hear what God's saying. I would move in the gifts. I'm just not sure if it's him or not. See, you don't believe you're a spiritual being. You have a spirit. You are a spirit, I should say. You have a soul and you live in a body. You are a spiritual being. When think about the things that we do. If you've got, like, let's say you wanted to move a cup from one place to another. Do you have to sit there and go, now concentrate. We're gonna move in a minute. We're gonna grab that cup with your right hand. Ready? Go. Oh, you don't have to think about it, do you? You just go and do it. You grab the cup and you do it. Why? Because with your body, you do physical things. You can't get into your mind and go, everybody think of their navel, hum, cup move, cup move, move cup, move cup. No. You need a physical hand to move a physical cup. If you wanted to read a book, your body is used to maybe hold the book, but that's it. If you don't engage with your mind, you won't be able to read. But you don't have to think, okay, now focus. Don't forget, you've got to read now. As soon as it comes in front of you, read, okay? Concentrate, read. No, you just do it. You just start reading it. If you're interested in something, you just get it open and you just start reading it and you're engaged because your mind is engaged. You can't use your body to engage with something that your mind can do. You can't use your mind to engage with something that your body can do. Well, you can't use your mind to engage with something that your spirit can do. You are a spirit. The spiritual gifts are spiritual. And the problem that people make is they get into their mind, come on, word of knowledge, come on, I know it's there. You are a spirit. You don't have to think about moving that cup. You just get your body and just do. You don't have to think about reading. And you don't have to think about moving in the gifts of the Spirit. You get into the Spirit and your spirit will automatically do what your spirit does. But so many Christians are trying to be something they already are. I'm a spiritual being, I'm a spiritual being, I'm a spirit. Well, it's kind of good to meditate on that and let that truth settle down into your heart. But moving in the gifts of the Spirit doesn't require extreme concentration. Like you're trying to pass something. You are a spirit. And so you can engage your spirit to do spiritual things. You know a really simple way to begin to move in the Spirit? Is pray in the Spirit. Just practice praying in the Spirit. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more you stay in the Spirit. And the more you stay in the Spirit, the easier it is to flow in the Spirit and do those things, eh? But if you're stuck like, oh man, I'm not going to pray in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. Doesn't sound like anything to me, I can't understand it. Well, you're just getting into the natural. You're trying to get your mind to engage with something your spirit's doing. And so we need to understand. I will preach a message one day when the Lord permits me, because there's so much in that, hey. But understand, you are a spiritual being. So therefore, you hear the voice of God, and therefore, you can move in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not a difficult thing. Just get in the Spirit and move. You know, is it hard to pick up the cup? It's not. Is it hard to read a book? It's not. You just engage that part of your being. You engage your mind with the book. You engage your body with the cup. Well, engage your spirit. And that's how you do it. So now, this whole thing in chapter 13 about I'll show you a better way, it's obviously the better way is love, hey? And when you flow in the love of God, you will find moving in the gifts of the Spirit is so easy, because when you desire to glorify Him and you desire to bless others, that's just the love of God, hey? And then it's just easy, hey? But when you desire to promote yourself, it's like, man, I'm going to get a word of knowledge, I'll show everybody. When you start thinking like that, it starts clouding your ability. And you may, look, there's some people that can develop in some of these gifts. You can practice it, and eventually you can pick it up, and God will still use you. But if you're self-centered and you're trying to promote yourself or personal gain through those gifts of the Spirit, you will not be profited in any way. And it's a really dangerous place. You know, there's a big difference between what God does in you and what God does through you. What God does in you is all about your character, about who you are. They're issues of faithfulness, of integrity, of truth, loyalty, all of these sorts of things. That's character. That's what God does in you. What God does through you are the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are hugely important, and I'm not trying to downplay them. But if you had to choose, you want to choose what God does in you first. You don't have to choose. You can have both. But just understand, this love of God is what God does in you. That you're coming from that place. God, I just want to help someone. I just want to bless someone. I just want them to discover how awesome you are. What do you want me to do? Show me something. And you come from there, and then it becomes really easy to begin to flow. Hey, you've got to develop flowing in the love of God. Hey, because sometimes oftentimes, we just don't have time. We're so busy. We've got all these things. Oh, I can't. I don't have time for them. I've got all these things on my plate right now. I can't think of anybody else. But you know, to flow in the love of God is to desire to be a blessing. And this word, there's a word, compassion, that's used in the Scriptures. And I've done a Bible study on this word, and it's really interesting in the ministry of Jesus where this word compassion is used, eh? And you will notice whenever Jesus had compassion, it caused him to do something. And most of the time, it caused him to work in the supernatural, hey? This is a real key for us to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Have a look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14 and verse 13. Give me an oi when you're there. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. So this is just after Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been executed. And it says in verse 13, when Jesus got the news, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Why did he want to go away by himself? Because he just learnt that his cousin had been executed. He just learnt that the person who probably at that stage had the greatest revelation of who Jesus really was, he was the first person to identify Jesus as the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You know, there must have been some sort of camaraderie, some sort of fellowship, like, man, we understand. Not everybody else understands, but, you know, and there must have been some fellowship. And to hear that this person had been executed, had been put to death for his faith, he wanted to get away by himself. And it goes on, when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion. Everyone say compassion. He was moved with compassion for them. You know that word compassion in the Greek? It's this Greek word and it's splagnizomai. And it literally means that your bowels or your innards yearn for something. In our modern day, it's like, my heart goes out to you. That's the modern day equivalent. So we could translate this scripture and it says, when Jesus saw the great multitude, his heart went out to them. And then notice what it says after that. And he healed their sick. There's a key here to flowing in the supernatural. There's a key here to flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. When you begin to move in the love of God, and his love will lead you, and there will be times your heart will go out towards someone. Follow the love. Follow the love. It'll lead you somewhere. And you'll be sure that at the end of that, there'll be something amazing, something exciting. Look at the next chapter, chapter 15, verse 29. It says, Jesus departed from there. He skirted the Sea of Galilee and went up on the mountain and sat down there. And then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet and he healed them. How amazing that would have been, eh? Would have been so exciting. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself, and he said, I have compassion. Everyone say compassion. Compassion. That's that same Greek word, splagnizomai. In other words, he's saying, my heart goes out to the multitude, because they've now continued with me 3 days and they've had nothing to eat. And I don't want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. And then his disciples said, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to feed such a great multitude? Man, talk about thick. Just a chapter before, he had had a similar event take place where he had fed 5,000 plus women and children. Now there's only 4,000. And they still didn't get it. They complained the first time and they're complaining the second time. They're saying the same thing. When Jesus, the first time Jesus said, actually the first time the disciples said, look, send them away. You know, like, we're hungry, they're hungry. Just send them away. They can go find a fish and chip shop somewhere. And he just said to them, you give them something to eat. And they go, well, where are we going to feed them? 200 denarii won't be enough to feed all of these people. That's like 7 months' wages. Like, in other words, they were saying like 40 grand won't be enough. And here again, they still didn't get it. The same situation. And they're going, where could we get enough bread to feed such a great multitude? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And look at verse 36. He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and he gave thanks, and he broke them, and he gave it to his disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude, and the people were fed. But notice that back in verse 32, he had compassion. His heart went out to the multitude, and that was a signal. God, you're in this. There's something going on here. You will find in your everyday life, not just at church, but in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, there will be times God will lead you and your heart will go out towards someone and you won't even know why sometimes. You may not even know them. But if you follow the heart of God and you allow yourself to be moved with compassion and just do what you know to do, you will find God will do the rest and you will have amazing stories to tell people. This pattern is right through the Gospels where Jesus was moved with compassion. I'll show you one more. Have a look at Mark chapter 1. And verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Lepers weren't allowed in society back then. Lepers actually had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," to warn people that they had leprosy. And people had to get away, or the leper had to go away. They weren't allowed to mix. He came and he kneeled and he begged Jesus. And he said, "You know, if you're willing, you can make me clean." But I want you to notice what Jesus did. It says, then Jesus moved with compassion. There's the same word. The exact same word. In other words, we could say, then Jesus' heart went out to this man. And he stretched out his hand and he touched him. People weren't allowed to touch lepers. Leprosy was extremely contagious. Notice no healing had taken place yet. He just went out and he touched him. Why? Because he was moved. His heart went out to this man. Oh, man. It's like this guy had just experienced rejection after rejection because of his condition. He wasn't allowed near anyone except other lepers. And Jesus stretched out his hand because the love of God was just so flowing through him, touched him, and just said, "You're not alone in this, mate. You are not alone." I want you to notice the first thing he did because of the love of God is he identified himself with this man. He touched him and then he said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Hey, can you see the pattern? There's many, many instances, and I would encourage you can do a study of the scriptures of compassion in the gospel and where it appears. And you'll see the majority of times it appears in Jesus' life, and oftentimes it says he was moved with compassion. Sometimes it says he had compassion, but it's the same word. This Greek word, splagnidziomai. And it means your heart goes out. There's the key to flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. There will be times God will get you, your heart will just go out to someone. And it's not for you to get in your mind and go, "Yeah, but what about them? Or what about them? And what about them?" Just follow the love of God. Do you remember when Jesus prayed for the man by the pool of Bethesda? That pool, it was filled with people that had all sorts of infirmities. But he healed that one man. Is it because God didn't love the others? No, God loves the others. But Jesus was following. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He acted as a man. We know he's the Son of God. We know he's God now, but he emptied himself of his divine privileges and he walked as a man. And as a man, he was filled with compassion and he went to this one. And it would be a mistake for you to get into your mind and go, "Yeah, but God, what about them? And what about them?" Just do what God tells you to do. Remember when he said to Peter, "Follow me," and Peter said, "Yeah, but what about him?" And Jesus said, "If I want him to wait here, what's that to you? Follow me." Follow the love. Don't get into your mind and go, "Yeah, but what about this or what about that?" Just follow the love and see where that leads you. Hey, we have seen this operate in our lives so many times. Just following that compassion, that love, and seeing just miracles occur. One that comes to my mind straight away is one that I shared earlier in this series where Joy's friend, Bianca, where she had cancer. She'd been diagnosed with the cancer. And Joy just said, "I have to get down there." And it was the love of God. It was that compassion. And we didn't have the money to get down there. We didn't have the ability to do anything for Bianca. But it was just this love of God that was compelling her. And so we agreed, "All right, well, you're going." We don't know how you're going, but anyway, you've heard the story about how the money, we were able to pay for the flight. That was in itself supernatural. And she went down there. She ministered to Bianca. She led her to Christ. Bianca became born again. And then Joy laid hands on her. And she was miraculously healed. And the surgeon, after the operation, because they gave her a complete, what was it, hysterectomy, wasn't it? They gave her a hysterectomy. And when they called her in and they said, we have the biopsy and we have evidence that there was cancer. But in completing the hysterectomy, there is no cancer there. None. It's completely gone. And he had no explanation for it. When you follow the love of God, you can expect supernatural things to begin to open up for you. Do I hear an amen?
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.